Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 2nd of October. I want to tell you that we're talking our favorite books this hour of the program. Please get your pen and pencil ready. But I do want to tell you, for everybody who pledges this hour, we have asked our guest, Nancy Pearl, our longtime wonderful librarian who's joined us on so many programs, for her list of her top five books of all time. Daniel Golden, owner of Boswell Book Company, a terrific store here in Milwaukee, we've asked for his list. Russ Castronovo, as you know, we've started a book club, an on-air book club. We just did Common Sense with Thomas Paine a couple weeks ago. We asked, he's a professor of English at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, his top five books, and I have my top five books as well. So we're putting these on a bookmark. What could be better for this show? Everybody who calls in, no matter what your pledge, you'll get one of these bookmarks, and you'll have book recommendations on there. Pretty neat, huh? So here's how you pledge, 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, and we get to talk books this hour. We're asking favorite books, and we're asking you that question, too. What is your favorite book? 800-486-8655 is our number. We'll start to say hello to Nancy Pearl. Nancy?
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Nancy. Good to talk to you again.
It's great to be with you.
Yeah, thank you. Daniel Golden is also joining us in our Milwaukee studios, owner of Boswell Books. Daniel, thank you, as always, for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And for those of you, I must realize that there may be somebody who's calling in who doesn't know about Nancy. She is the author of the terrific Booklust series, and she has also been a librarian in places all throughout the country. She has won all kinds of awards for her work. She developed that program, If All Seattle Read the Same Book, and she, both of these people just read and read and read and read, and so their recommendations will be ever so valuable. Nancy, let's start with you. Is it difficult for you to come up with a list of your top five books?
It was nearly impossible, and as Rhonda will tell you, I sent a list in, and then yesterday I realized that, oh no, there were other books that I liked better.
Yes, I had the same response. Yes, yes.
So I actually changed two of mine.
So the others would be six and seven?
Yes, yeah. I think six. But it's impossible.
I know.
I love Daniel's list, though.
Did you? Daniel?
Yeah. Oh, I felt it was kind of Nancy-ish in some places.
What does that mean, Daniel?
I just admire a lot of, I know a lot of the books over the years that she's enjoyed, and we overlap in a lot of places.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah. Like Excellent Women. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Oh, gosh. Half Magic, one of my favorite children's books of all time.
What's the name of it, Nancy? Half Magic?
Half Magic, on Daniel's list.
Okay, Half Magic. We'll talk about it, Daniel.
Well, we were talking about how you form a list, and I was saying I'm asked to do these kind of lists, and I can't do them. And so what I came up with, and I don't know how everybody probably uses a different formula, but I thought, okay, I'm on a desert island. I have no technology. What do I want to read? Do I want to read it again, and why do I want to read it again? And so I chose books that sort of unlocked memories and relationships of my life that would take a book and turn it into a body of work. And so when I was thinking about Barbara Pym, for example, I read every Barbara Pym more than once, and I came up with the one that I thought was probably most definitive and also kind of still available. When it came to Half Magic, Edward Eger wrote seven books that all sort of connect together. But if I had to pick one of them, this is the one that starts it all. It's a kid's book about four children in the 20s, and one of them finds a nickel, which turns out to be a talisman coin, and it pretty much gives them half of whatever they want. So they, needless to say, make a lot of mistakes. I love the book. It represents a lot of what I love in kids' books, where a kid could read it, an adult could read it to a kid, because there are jokes that go over the kids' heads. I love books with sort of a knowing innocence. So it's very, very funny. He's so smart, but it's also gentle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's silly. It's the formula is silly, and the 20s are silly, and you know, and it's got a warm story underneath, and the formula continued out through the books, and he only wrote seven, and every book was also he loved books too. Every book is sort of inspired by another author from, I think, the late 19th century named E. Nesbitt or Edith Nesbitt Bland, if you're looking it up in an old-fashioned library that doesn't like to use pseudonyms.
Right. Nancy, I guess we can give away, this will be on the bookmark, but we can give away, would this have been number one, The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien?
Oh, I think my approach to it was similar to Daniel's, except I thought, instead of being on a desert island, I thought if I had to give all my books away, the books that I owned away, what books could I absolutely not bear to give away?
Oh.
And I ended up with these. And The Lord of the Rings I partly did because I thought it's the kind of book you can read almost no matter what mood you're in, because it gives you great characters, it's a fabulous story, the writing, the imagination and the writing is so evocative, the setting, and it's partly because it does bring back a time of my life when I first read that book, mm-hmm. and at that time all the books weren't published in America yet when I first read it, and so we had to wait. At the end of the Fellowship of the Ring, two of the characters are running away. Frodo and Sam are running away from this guy who is this man, who Boromir, who's after them. And we had to wait a year until the next book came out before we found out what happened to them. So it brings back those sorts of memories.
Yes. And I won't say what my books were, but as I was thinking about them, I realized all of the books on my list were so influential in my life that they determined what I was going to do with my life.
Wow.
And you know, it's kind of an eclectic mix. And I also realized that a lot of these books, although one I probably would have changed, I won't say what it was, but there were a lot, it could have been six, seven, or eight. All of these books, I don't read books over again, usually, because there's so much to read because of the nature of this job. But these are the books that I read aloud. These are the books that I take the passages, I'll be all by myself, and I just read them, certain parts, and I'll say, oh, that was something.
Yeah.
I have a Lord of the Rings story that really captures why the book is probably on a lot of top five lists. When I was in college, my roommate Carl, who's from Green Bay, when he would get stressed out, he would pull out the trilogy and just open to any page and just start reading.
That's a great story, Daniel. That's great. Let's go to some phone calls. We're talking about our favorite books, and we want to tell you that we're in this pledge drive. As you know, we've put together this bookmark for anybody who pledges during the course of this hour. Anybody who pledges will get the five top books from Daniel Golden, Nancy Pearl, Russ Castronovo, who's our guider through our book club that we're doing on the air, and from me as well. And we'd love to hear from you with your top favorite book, too, as we talk about books, which is something we love to do. Here's how you pledge, 888-202-2552. Here's how you join our on-air conversation, 800-486-8655. So we can get to a lot of phone calls. Let's just do top two books, okay? And if you want to just give us one, that would be best. Top two books. Thank you. Jeanette in Russ County. Hi, Jeanette. Jeanette, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Hi,
Jeanette. Thank you for letting me share.
Sure.
I'll talk really fast because four just absolutely hit me. Watership Down, The
yes.
Red Tent, Dandelion Wine, and the absolute encapsulation of towns like New Auburn, population 485. Mike did not miss a beat on that. He went to the absolute heart of New Auburn. And I loved it. I loved it. I loved it.
You loved
45.
It.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeanette.
Hang up and listen on the air now, man.
All right. Yeah. Thanks very much for your call. You want to respond to that, Nancy?
Well, of course, my favorite, Mike Perry's, is Truck. And that's the one that I just reread because I think it's funny and touching and heartbreaking and everything that I look for in a book. And Dandelion Wine is another one of those books, I think, in a way you can open anywhere and just be captured by Bradbury's imagination.
Mm-hmm. Daniel?
I'm just writing everything down. So.
Yeah.
That's good. Our number is 800-486-8655 is our number, and we're going to continue our conversation with Nancy Pearl and Daniel Golden. We're talking about, we're asking, what is your favorite book this hour of the show? And we're getting some, well, we're asked the people who, of all people on earth, read more than anybody I know, Nancy Pearl and Daniel Golden, and they both have amazing memories. So their recommendations, you know, their recommendations alone are worth a pledge, for heaven's sake. Where in the world else are you going to have a show like this? I mean, absolutely nowhere. This is it, and one of the reasons why these conversations are so valuable. We need to take a few minutes to ask for your support of the programs you enjoy. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported. We're in our fall membership drive. Lisa Nalbandian is with me, and we're asking for you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make a gift in support of the programs that you count on.
Last hour, the goal was 35 pledges, and we heard from 39 listeners.
Thank you.
Thank you for those pledges. Now it's a new hour, and our goal is 40 pledges this hour. Meeting this goal helps make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money we need to fund the programs you rely on. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help us meet this goal.
We're talking about books. We always talk about books. We all read books, those of you who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's why you listen to us, because you're readers. We sink our teeth into important topics. We read important literature.
Whether it's the interviews we recently did with Wisconsin veterans, historical topics, national politics, or international news that isn't getting enough attention elsewhere, you can get the information you need right here. This kind of substance is only possible with your support. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs, and as an added incentive, we have something special for you. In addition to our two special guests, you can get a bookmark when you give a pledge of any amount that has the recommendations of the top five books of all time from people who read extensively and very critically and with a great amount of joy. Nancy Pearl and Daniel Golden, my recommendations are on that as well. Ask for it now when you make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sometimes you want to listen to WPR, but you're not near a radio. And that's okay, because you can listen online from anywhere in the world. Just go to WPR.org and click on Our Live Streams.
While you're at WPR.org, you can check out information about your favorite shows, guests you've heard, our audio archives of past programs. Your pledge helps support all of these services.
Another thing you can do at WPR.org is make your donation. Do it now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I'm Audie Cornish of NPR News. Listener support is essential to making the high-quality news, music, talk, and entertainment that you enjoy on WPR. Sustaining members make monthly contributions from a bank account or credit card. Being a sustainer is a great way to support the radio station you love.
And we ask you to pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian. We are asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift may be $50 or $100 or $500. Whatever you can give us, we're going to send a bookmark to any pledge amount this hour of the show. And so any amount is the right amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've been on vacation or your car radio didn't work and you felt like something was missing when you couldn't listen to WPR for a while. And then when you got WPR back, you had a great feeling of comfort.
And when you see how happy you are to have those familiar voices and programs back, it's when you realize, ta-da, this is an important service in my life. And the way to keep it here is to support the service with your dollars. Please make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember, you can get a bookmark for your pledge of any amount. And I'm looking at this list of books right here in front of me, and I'm not going to say what they are, but let me tell you, you're going to want this bookmark. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, it's also nice that our guests, we have terrific guests all over this network, but the people who are avid readers who are recognized nationally for the work they do to promote reading have given us their five favorite books, which is very nice of them. So you can look at it all the time and be inspired to read at least those books. And I put my list on there, too, although, as Nancy said, I keep wanting to change it. But that's because we read so much. There are hundreds of books that are our favorites. So please, anybody who pledges this hour will receive this bookmark. And it's very easy to do this. You can make any amount gift right now to become a new member, and every single member makes a difference.
Whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking up on us at various times throughout the day or week, you're getting value from what you hear on WPR. It's financial support from our listeners, people like you, that makes the programs you enjoy possible. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your first ever pledge or your 100th pledge.
Thank you so much for all of your pledges. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Lisa. We're talking about your favorite book ever this hour of the show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guests are Nancy Pearl, former director of the Seattle Public Library, author of the entire Book Lust series, Book Lust to Go, recommended reading for travelers, vagabonds, and dreamers, and Daniel Golden, who is owner of Boswell Books. Before we go back to phone calls, and our lines are absolutely filled here in Milwaukee, I want to ask what your philosophy is about reading books for a second time or a third time. Are there books on your list, Nancy, that you've read over and over and over that you may indeed even read once a year?
Yes. In fact, I think my list is pretty much made up of those books.
Really?
Uh-huh. And I think I go back to them. For some reason, the last few months, I've just been in need of rereading books. I haven't found a lot of new stuff to read. I'd love to talk to Daniel about what he's found new.
Oh, he'd love to talk to you about it, too.
There's certainly been a few that I've really enjoyed and some stuff that's coming out. But I just felt the need to revisit old favorites. And Cryptonomicon by Neal Stephenson is just a brilliant, it's usually shelved in science fiction, but it's really, it's a mixture of historical fiction, of a code-breaking World War II, and Neal Stephenson is a brilliant, brilliant writer, and this is a book I think that just bears reading. Well, I have reread it many, many times, and even just talking to you about it makes me think, maybe I ought to go downstairs and get the copy out and read it again.
Daniel, give her a suggestion.
Our buyer Jason's a huge fan of Neal Stephenson. I read some crossover speculative, and we actually keep it in fiction just because we do actually have a wonderful science fiction and fantasy. We have all sorts of little subcategories separated out, but what's always tricky about that, and we've talked about that with horror too, is we have so many customers that we can get to read something like that, but are afraid to jump to admit that they're reading genre stuff.
Absolutely.
Sometimes. Don't you find that?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
And unless I was able to cross-shelve them well, you wind up just trying to keep them in people's rec sections and things like that. I have a bookseller who read mostly that thing. So.
Yeah, no, I think that's – I don't think it belongs in science fiction. No.
People don't understand – yeah, people don't really quite get how much more they're going to like it than they think they're going to.
Yeah, I mean, people who don't like science fiction at all but love World War II histories, for example, that's a book for them.
The two books that, unfortunately, I haven't finished – I don't know if when you were looking at our event calendar, we're about two events a day for the next 3 months or something like that. And we lost, we're very sad. We lost the bookstore in the market. and Next Chapter, which we were very sad about. And
oh, yeah.
We absorbed, I think, 13 events from them, and we were full of
goodness.
So my head is basically spinning, and that sort of left me. I just read Please Look After Mom, the Korean novel by Kim Sook Jin, and for a book club discussion, and I'm like furiously reading it the night before, and we had a good discussion, so that was good, while Stephen Pastis was going on in the back for the Pearls Before Swine event that I was running also. The two books I think that my booksellers are I feel like you've read everything I can possibly say, so I'm going to try two that I've had a lot of booksellers really love that maybe you haven't read, but of course you probably have.
No.
One is Peter Guy's The Lighthouse Road. Did you read that, or Safe from the Sea?
I love the publisher. I love unbridled books.
Yeah.
And so I tend to read everything. I started that and just had a little bit of trouble getting into it, so I put it aside.
We're on our fourth read in the store. So all very enthusiastic. So we say, try one more time. See if you can do another 25 pages.
I'll do it.
And then the other one I don't think you've read but you're in Seattle, so it's really – it's easier for you to get the book than for some people. We have a local author. The strangest thing, Shaunison Baldwin – she's been her last novel was shortlisted for the Giller Prize. She lives in Milwaukee, but her books are not published in the United States. They're published in Canada. And the new book's called The Selector of Souls, and it's about a Hindu woman and a Catholic woman who meet in a village. One is a midwife, and one is opening a medical clinic. I loved her last novel, The Tiger Claw, which never came out in the States. And the thing we were able to import some books. And it is, if you like book physicality, the book is spectacular. The cover is amazing. It's so, and you're going to understand when I say this to you, Nancy, it's so heavy.
Is it here?
Feel how heavy this book is.
Now, tell me, spell the author's last name.
It's Baldwin. That's the easy.
Baldwin.
Yes,
okay.
She's Sikh. And so Singe is her middle name, and which is very timely, of course, right now. There aren't too many Sikh writers in the United States writing. Her last novel was almost like a spy thriller women's story based on a Muslim woman who impersonated a French woman during World War II. Was caught, and of course they all thought she was Jewish.
Wow.
That's Tiger Claw. Really lovely book. So.
Mm. Oh, that reminds me. There's the two. One brand new book that I really enjoyed that I highly recommend, and I didn't think I would like it at all, is The End of Your Life Book Club.
Oh, I've heard about that. Yeah.
By Will Schwab. Hmm. I thought it would be mawkish and maudlin and too sentimental, and I hate books like that. But it's just a wonderful story, just really a tribute to the author's mother, who was just a fabulous woman, worked with refugees and built libraries in Afghanistan, and during the year that she's dying from a very aggressive form of cancer, she and Will have this book club where they talk about books that they both read. It's just so good. And one of the things I loved about his mother is that she reads the end of every book first. And I feel exactly the same way, but I've never had the nerve to do that.
That book's the number one indie pick for November, I think. So there's a lot of booksellers who are also really behind it. One of my favorite customers always reads the last page.
Oh, that sounds marvelous, marvelous. So, let's go to some phone calls. We have tons of them. Anita in Lake Villa. Hi, Anita.
Hi. Love the discussion. I could give you a gazillion of my favorite books, but my top one is not my second one that I had for 40 years. I love John Hersey's White Lotus. And Gretel Ehrlich, when I read her This Cold Heaven, Seven Seasons in Greenland, it knocked the other out of the ballpark. Just reading anything that Gretel Ehrlich writes, when I die and come back, that's who I want to write like.
Thanks, Anita, for the call. Nancy, you want to respond?
I think that Gretel Ehrlich's a fabulous writer, and just her account of when she was struck by lightning is something that has always stuck in my mind.
Hmm.
She's a beautiful writer.
Les in Madison, hi. Hello, Les. Les is gone. Boyd in Milwaukee. Hi, Boyd.
Good morning, Kathleen. Hello
Hi, Boyd.
Once again to you, Nancy, and hello, Daniel. Always
Hi,
a pleasure. Got a couple recommendations, and then one I'm curious about. I finally cracked open Eric Larson, and I really love Devil in the White City. This guy, I think, has a style all to its own, and I never knew anything about the Chicago World's Fair until reading this book, and now he has me really intrigued to know more about the major players involved. And just, I also want to read his book, In the Garden of Beasts. Nancy, the last time that I had, that you were on, I mentioned a book by an author by the name of Felix J. Palma, The Map of Time, and now he's come out with a sequel, The Map of the Sky, and I read a sample of it. I really feel that Felix J. Palma is going to be one of the up-and-coming writers of this decade. Just reading the sample, I got to get down to Boswell to get my copy. He picks up with H.G. Wells once again, being a major character, and I know it's going to be a really fun read. And then finally, a book I'm curious about, I know that The Hunger Games is real hot and people are into dystopia. Daniel, when you, a few months back, you had a really good display of dystopian books at the store, and one that caught my eye was No Man's Land by Leslie Hague, H-A-U-G-E. If any of you have read that, I've only read a sample of it. It sounds like a really good read. I'll take your thoughts.
Thanks, Boyd. Daniel, you want to start?
I hadn't read it, but one of my former booksellers who moved to Philadelphia, and we still cry about her moving away every day, really loved it.
What about Eric Larson? Nancy?
Well, Eric Larson's a Seattle writer, so we're big fans of Eric Larson. I think In the Garden of Beasts I liked better than the World's Fair one, because I think, Kathleen, it's World War II history. I think you would enjoy that one.
Oh, that sounds well. Yes.
You know, the coming of the ambassador's family, the American ambassador's family, react, especially his teenage daughter, reacting to the rise of Nazism.
Mm.
But I have to say, I want to ask Daniel about one novel for teens that I just was just blown away by, which is Codename Verity.
Oh, I haven't read it. So tell
Daniel.
Me.
You've got, oh my gosh, Cass, this is another. It begins with a girl who has been captured by the Nazis and is being tortured to tell a spy. They believe she's a spy, to tell everything she knows, and very reluctantly she's giving in to them. And then it just goes on from there in unexpected twists and turns. You just have to have a box of Kleenex with it. It is so good.
What's the name of it, Nancy?
Codename Verity. Yeah.
Codename Verity.
And I will read a good teen book. I just read Tanya Hurley's The Blessed, and I also like a good cry. I think there's a couple of books here that I weep a lot after, you know,
yeah.
finishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has anybody read, we have him on next week, and I haven't read it yet because I had a couple other books this week, Salman Rushdie's new book?
I'm reading it.
Are you?
Yes.
And
just fabulous.
It's fabulous. He's such an interesting man, isn't he? I'm really looking forward to the book. So.
I've had a customer, one of my best customer, Dennis Ball, chewed me out for not reading it yet. And one of my other great customers, John, came in to buy every book mentioned in the book. So,
oh my goodness,
yeah, he started with three, but he's going to make his way through.
I'm
totally obsessed.
Weekend.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's quite a story. Okay, I want to say this. I want to say that we're talking about our favorite books this hour. What hour could be better than this? And we have tons of phone calls, and we're getting terrific recommendations. Nancy Pearl is joining us by phone. Nancy is our librarian. She is former director of the Seattle Public Library. She's been a bookseller, and she gives speeches all over the world, and she is author of the phenomenally interesting and useful Book Lust series. Daniel Golden is owner of Boswell Books, which is located here in Milwaukee, and they are both with us to talk about their favorite books. And then we're asking you, what is your favorite book as well? And then we're in a pledge drive, so we've got their favorite books, my favorite books, and also we're doing this book club. You know, we just did Common Sense by Thomas Paine. Russ Castronovo, professor of English at UW-Madison, who is our teacher for that, we have his favorite books on there as well. So that's all of those favorite books are on this bookmark for everybody who pledges during the course of this hour. And I just think... What could be better than that? And here's how you pledge, 888-202-2552. More of your book recommendations in just one moment, and Daniel Golden and Nancy Pearl will remain with us. We are having our fall membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our studios in Milwaukee. And more than ever, you really rely on Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network for intelligent discussions. Where the heck else are you going to have a conversation about books? I mean, where? Nowhere. We rely on the money that you give to keep this kind of conversation on the air. Your gift today of $60 or $120 or really any amount helps fund the important discussions that you count on. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help pay for the programs you depend on. We're looking for just a few more pledges by the end of the hour. Make yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You may have found yourself hovering near the radio, drawn into a great discussion during the last 45 minutes. You had a pen and paper, and you're writing down, what was the name of that book? I got to read that book. You appreciate our guest's knowledge and also the caller's questions and viewpoints. How many of our people that we've interviewed have said you are just really a great audience? They say it all the time. Make your pledge of support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can choose a bookmark as your thank you gift for your pledge of any amount. And I have this list of bookmarks. And I have to say, the books on this list, a few of them I'm a little surprised about.
So really?
That's my teeth. Yes. I won't say which ones.
Huh.
And I won't say by whom. WPR.org.
Oh, that's real helpful.
Yeah. All right, also Nancy Pearl. There's a recommendation by Nancy Pearl I was a little surprised about.
Really? Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll talk off the air about that.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And then we'll let you in on what it is later on when we talk to Nancy Pearl. We don't want it to be something, but we'll talk about why Lisa was surprised by this. Yeah, I love this bookmark idea. It's terrific. And you know that for many of you, WPR is your radio station. We create and we produce programs with your interests in mind. We aim to serve you and even exceed your expectations and, heck, even our expectations sometimes.
It's not an exaggeration to say that listeners are always in our thoughts during our daily work. WPR is your station because you help fund it. Help us fund it right now by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I love to listen to both the classical music and the Ideas Network stations because it seems to me they're the only ones that are worthwhile to listen to. The Ideas Network gives opposing political views and allows us, the general public, to express our views about current issues. It's important for me to be able to come to my own conclusions about issues. This is one way that I can do that.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support. I'm Kathleen Dunn with Lisa Nalbandian. Thank you in advance for your gift of $50, $100, $500, or whatever amount is right for you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Whoops, need that mic on. There you go.
Pledge drives like this one are a time to celebrate the quality of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio. You listen to WPR because you love the programs, and now we're asking you to back that feeling up with your financial support.
You know, listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget. It's nearly 40%. So the programs that you enjoy every day just simply would not be possible without that piece of the budget pie. Let us know you appreciate the quality that you get from WPR. Let us know this program is important to you. Make your pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
If you're looking for the best way to fit a contribution to WPR into your budget, become a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make automatic monthly contributions from your credit card or bank account.
Your employer may be able to double your donation as well. We ask you to become you know, a sustainer. A lot of people contribute $10 a month. The amount is really up to you. There are no annual renewals to worry about. And best of all, you'll help build a stable source of revenue for Wisconsin Public Radio. Contribute right now. Become a sustainer. And you can do so by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kathleen touched on this just a second ago. So first step, become a sustaining member to WPR. And then the second step, check with your employer because they might be able to double your donation to WPR.
We invite you to ask for a bookmark with your pledge of any amount, something you will treasure forever. You can use it for every book you read now for the rest of your life. That bookmark will be precious. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Lisa, very much. More phone calls, more conversation with Nancy Pearl and Daniel Golden in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Daniel Golden and Nancy Pearl are our guests. We just have so much going on. I just want to repeat this show down the road a couple weeks so we can get to all of your phone calls. We just have many of them. Rick in Milwaukee is our next caller. Hi, Rick.
Hi, good morning. I'd just like to mention a couple. The first one is a short novel by Philip Roth called The Breast, which is about the absolute centrality of sex in human life, identity, and meaning. The second one is Lolita by Nabokov, not because of the sexuality in it, but because of the great storytelling and fantastic writing. And thirdly, F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby, a runner-up to the first two, but also a great book, and I have to stop at that point.
All right. Thanks, Rick, very much for the call. The Great Gatsby makes it, I've been looking through a lot of people's lists, Nancy, as one of the all-time best 50 books or maybe 25 books.
Mm-hmm.
Because?
Partly because I think partly because it's just a fascinating story of a man, Jay Gatsby, and partly because Gatsby has become, I think, part of our kind of national sense of ourselves, and the kind of person that he was and the life that he lived, I think, has a lot of meaning for people still today, even though it is a novel of the 20s.
Daniel, here we have so much coming to us here. Here are some emails that have come to us. Hey, Daniel and Kathleen and Nancy, my most amazing read ever was A Fine Balance by Rowandin Mystery. What an amazing story about the fine line between misery and hope. A great show. I'm donating today, Debbie.
Oh, and of course, it's one of those, but I feel like there's so many still, I can get so much out of a show like this because there's so much gaps in my reading. I wind up reading, I wind up having to read a lot of like new books, event books, help get the word out of books. We have a book club that I get driven by, and I every year I'll make a vow to myself, I'm going to read a classic every month. And
do that and too. I know.
Sometimes I'm able to get one or two a year. One of the things that, and so that's a book that people come in and say, why didn't you read Fine Balance? It's just an embarrassment to the story.
I think Nancy may have read it.
I'm sure she read it.
Yeah, no, it's a fabulous book.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's just, it's amazing. It's like Vikram Seth, who I know is on, is on Daniel's list for Golden Gate, but it's like his book, A Suitable Boy.
Which I did read. I believe that's the longest book in my life, excluding box sets and trilogies and things like that, where you put them all together. That's the longest single book I've ever read. And I almost did read it twice. But.
And Rohan Mysteries is that length or a little bit longer, but it's one of those books you just get so involved with the characters that you just can't bear to leave them.
I think A Suitable Boy, I would say to people, it's 1,300 pages, but it reads like 700.
Yeah.
So good.
Let me ask both of you, I don't know if you're aware of the fact that we started a book club. We haven't done this for years. I haven't done it. And once a month, we're reading something that was important to the formation of this country. So we started with Thomas Paine, Common Sense, which was a fascinating read. We're doing some of the Federalist Papers for this month. And I wonder if both of you, I can give you a second to think about this, if you had to pick, and let's just do one book that was really crucial to the formation of American thought, of the democracy, or troubles within the democracy, what would you add to that list for our book club discussion? All right, you think about it.
Okay.
You don't have to answer me now.
I have to say I'm an ignorant wuss on this sort of thing. I mean, you know, I've read American history and I've read some historical novels, but I just feel like Russ's list is really great. I was trying to remember if I read Babbitt, and I think no, I read Main Street, but otherwise I think I was 5 out of 7 on his.
Mm.
Six. I read Dracula for school. So I felt like I should complete it because you get some sort of reading list bingo when you read them all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Let's go to Mary in Eau Claire. Hello, Mary.
Hi. I'd like to recommend, my brother sent me for this for Christmas and absolutely blew me away. It's a book entitled Life and Fate by Vasily Grossman. It's translated from the Russian.
Uh-huh.
And there's an interesting story behind it in that the KGB found it so offensive they went and they arrested the book instead of the author.
Oh.
But it's an epic tale, mostly told from one point of view, and it centers all on the Battle of Stalingrad. And it's all I can say is it's just amazing. I like it better than Constant Garnett's translation of War and Peace. I mean, but
my husband, Mary, has read every single book on the Battle of Stalingrad. We went on vacation to this remote island in Minnesota. Do you know what he brought for pleasure reading? 3 books on the Battle of Stalingrad. I couldn't believe it. But maybe he hasn't read this one yet.
Oh, this is just, it's a fabulous long epic novel.
Yes, he would love it then. All right. We got I sense a present down the road here, huh?
It's my favorite book that I've ever read.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I may change my mind.
Thank you very much for the call. Another email that's come in, Nancy, Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. The person, Deb, needs to reread it every few years. I started Dickens again last year, too. And Poisonwood Bible by Barbara Kingsolver, which changed the way I looked at the world.
A Tale of Two Cities is not my favorite Dickens, and I actually think that Hilary Mantel, before she has become so famous for Wolf Hall and Bring Up the Bodies, her 2 books about Thomas Cromwell, wrote a book called A Place of Greater Safety, which is, I think, the best novel about the French Revolution ever written. And she's just an amazing writer who can make these very unsympathetic people in real life, like Robespierre, make you care about them.
Hmm.
So A Place of Greater Safety is always my book of choice about the French Revolution.
A Place of Greater Safety.
Yes. Okay. Another thick book.
Okay.
It reads like a 700 pager.
Kathleen in Milwaukee. Hi, Kathleen.
Good morning, Kathleen. I just want to say that my favorite book of all time is The Razor's Edge by W. Somerset Maugham.
Mm.
I mm-hmm. think it's a wonderful book. I read it many years ago in my early 20s, and I have to say, I pick it up and I read it probably every 10 years or so. So I'd enjoy some comments. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I haven't read Somerset Maugham in years and years and years and years, but I remember loving Somerset Maugham.
And I think that he's one of those authors because his books are, I don't know that all of them are even in print anymore. I think that he's not as well known now, certainly, as he was, but I would suggest his short stories too, if you want a taste of who he was as a writer. His short stories are wonderful.
We can position ourselves.
The Razor's Edge is great.
Yeah. We can position ourselves for a Somerset Maugham revival.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Let's do it.
Thank you, Kathleen, for your call. Dennis in Spring Green. Hi, Dennis.
Also, I'd like to put a shout out for Spring Green's Arcadia Books in another independent bookstore. But,
great.
My favorite, I think, that I've gone back and read twice so far, dovetails with A Suitable Boy, is The God of Small Things by Roy.
Arundhati Roy, yeah.
And then adding to it, I just finished a new book to me. I'm not sure how recently it was published, but The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry by Rachel Joyce.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed it, and I know it's another book I will read again. And then I'm currently reading, which I've recommended people with current events, is Almost Dead by Asaf Gavran. And I heard about that one on Talk of the Nation. They had he was on, as well as a couple of other Middle Eastern authors. Really, the book is very provocative and well worth it. I'm about a third into it. I'd throw that out there for anyone to be interested to read if you're interested in what's happening in the Middle East.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the call. Nancy?
Oh, I think that I think those are all really interesting, you know, just really interesting suggestions. And Aaron Dotty Roy, The God of Small Things, is if you like just writing that makes you feel like you have to copy down every other sentence, it's so beautiful. That's the book you want to read. It's right up there, I think. Fans of Michael Ondaatje really need to read Aaron Dotty Roy as well.
And finally, this email, my all-time favorite, The Book Thief, Marcus Suzak. His use of language and metaphor is astounding. I've marked it up and tabbed so many passages. Jerry Ann from South Milwaukee. We have to go. Darn, I hate for this to end.
But have me and Daniel on again together, Kathleen, please.
Yeah, let's do that. We're going to do that. Rhonda, we're going to do that soon, right? Well, we are going to do that very soon. Thank you so much, both of you. It was just delightful.
Thank you.
It was great.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks, Daniel. Our book people, Nancy Pearl, former director of the Seattle Public Library, author of the marvelous Book Lust series, and all around remarkable book person, as is Daniel Golden, owner of Boswell Books, located here in Milwaukee. That was fun, wasn't it? Just while it's on your mind, everybody who pledges this hour, please call with your pledge, because Nancy and Daniel and Russ Castronovo, who's our guider of our book club, and I have also put together a list of our five top books of all time. You know, subject to modification, but at the moment, that's our five top. And it's on a bookmark. We're not going to tell you what all of them are, because we want you to get the bookmark. So any pledge, any amount, pledge at 888-202-2552, and we will be more than delighted to send that to you. We really would. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our studios here in Milwaukee, and we are asking you to think about how much you rely on WPR's Ideas Network for enlightening and informative discussions. We're here now to remind you that we rely on you to keep programs like this one on the air. It's our fall membership drive. A gift of any amount will make a big difference in our ability to pay for the programs that you count on. Make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you just have a few more minutes to show your support to this program. And your pledge right now helps our programming, just like this one, going strong. Make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation you will only hear on a place like Wisconsin Public Radio with Nancy. Oh, Nancy's in the studio now. Thank you, Rhonda. There's Nancy the librarian. She has an action figure. You've been enjoying the conversation with Nancy Pearl and with Daniel Golden about their favorite books and your favorite books. Please take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Make your pledge. Everybody who pledges gets a bookmark. What an hour. What a deal. Thank you very much. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
You decide the amount of your pledge, and every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you love on WPR. And consider asking for that bookmark you've been hearing about all hour as a thank you gift when you give a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has been around for a long time because we're committed to quality. It's a simple equation: funding equals quality, and an important part of that funding, nearly 40%, comes from you.
And your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. Be part of the quality you hear every day on WPR. make a donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio erases my prejudice, makes me feel connected to people all over our state. I'm impressed with their thoughtful remarks. I'm proud to be a Wisconsinite and have Wisconsin Public Radio in my life. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Please make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Get yourself a bookmark today, this hour, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Whoops.
Deborah from New Berlin says she loves Wisconsin Public Radio. And she also said, Kathleen's show today is fantastic, and I can't wait to get that bookmark. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Nothing like a book and nothing like a bookmark to put in the book with suggestions of other books for you to read and use the bookmark again. Thanks, everybody, for all of your pledges. Thank you, Lisa. Make your pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll be with you again tomorrow. And please remember the pledge number, because we need you. Thank you for pledging.